In Minnesota, for 40 years, a state law has defined marriage as the union between a man and a woman. Now, the Republican-led state legislature has moved to make that definition part of the state constitution. The proposal is working its way through the Senate, and as early, possibly as early as Monday, lawmakers will vote on putting that question on the ballot in the 2012 elections. State Representative Steve Simon is a Democrat who opposes the move to enshrine the ban on gay marriage in the state constitution. On Monday, in the Minnesota State Legislature, he spoke against it. And here is some of what he had to say about the place of religion in the gay rights debate. This is our sound of the day.
We have to be careful about trying to enshrine our beliefs, however religiously valid we may believe them to be, in the Minnesota Constitution. And what I'm hearing today and what I heard on Friday was largely a religious justification for a change in the Minnesota Constitution. I don't think that's right. I don't think it's fair. I think it departs from our tradition. The other thing, which I know makes some people squirm, but I think we have to discuss it, both during an election campaign, but here at the legislature too, is how much of homosexuality is nature versus nurture? Is this something that you learn or acquire, or is this something that you're born with? Is this just another lifestyle choice like skateboarding or gardening? Or is this something that's innate with a human being? And I want to take a page from what I heard last Friday in the Senate testimony. There was a member of the clergy, forgive me, I can't remember his name, and he said, you know what? Sexuality and sexual orientation are a gift from God. And I think that's true. And I think the scientific evidence shows more and more every day that sexuality and sexual orientation are innate and something that people are born with. And I would ask everyone on this committee, not today, not tomorrow, not next week, not even this year, but at a moment when you can be alone with your own thoughts, to ask yourself, if that's true, if it's even possibly true, what does that mean to the moral force of your argument? Just ask yourself, not now in the glare of the Capitol and caucuses and interest groups, but ask yourself, if it's true that sexual orientation is innate, God-given, then what does it mean to the moral force of your argument? And I guess to put it in the vernacular, what I would ask is, how many more gay people does God have to create before we ask ourselves whether or not God actually wants them around?
Please keep applause to yourselves.
How many gay people does God have to create before we ask ourselves whether the living of their lives the way they wish, as long as they don't harm others, is a godly and holy and happy and glorious thing? I've answered that for myself. I don't think everyone's answered that for themselves necessarily in this room, but I'm comfortable with a society and a tradition that bends towards justice and fairness and wholeness and openness and compassion. And I do think, as others have said before me more eloquently, that that's where the arc of history is bending as well. And I truly believe that in a generation, maybe not even a generation, but certainly many generations from now, if we pass this, if we put it on the ballot, if this becomes part of our Constitution, history will judge us all very, very harshly.
That was Democratic State Representative Steve Simon speaking in the Minnesota State Legislature against a proposal to define marriage as only the union of a man and a woman in the state constitution. That was our sound of the day. The idea of using glass to create heat from the sun is old. It's as old as glass. But now, a group of engineering students has taken that idea and they've used it to create a mirror-powered autoclave. An autoclave is a device that sterilizes surgical equipment. And because it only requires the sun as a source of power, it means that medical care in areas without electricity may get considerably safer. Sam Major is one of those who worked on the project. He is a fourth-year engineering student at Rice University in Houston, Texas.
Mr. Major, first of all, can you describe this device, this solar-powered autoclave?
Absolutely. So basically, this, the device that creates the thermal-powered steam is called the Capture Soleil, And essentially it employs parabolic mirrors that reflect the sun's rays, and they focus them onto one pipe that's located at the apex of essentially an A-frame. And by reflecting this light onto that water-filled pipe, you're able to create a very high temperature inside that pipe. And then over time, obviously, the temperature increases, and we've been able to produce steam so far with the conditions in Houston anywhere from 100 degrees Celsius up to 140 degrees Celsius.
How long does it take before you can build up a good head of steam?
So it really depends on when you start running the running the CapTour. So, you know, it's true solar noon, it doesn't necessarily mean 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It really means the highest point that the sun is in the sky. And if you're running it at that point and you fill the pipe up, you can start getting good steam within 30 minutes, and that's obviously the peak performance.
So what's this? Is it a fairly bulky item?
The CapTour itself is a little bulky right now. That's actually a project that they might be working on in the future, so figure out how to make that even more deployable. The one thing we are encouraged about it is that we've deployed it already to Haiti for cooking purposes. So we have shown that it can be deployed into these developing countries. It's really designed to be a permanent structure, too. It's something that you would deploy to a medical clinic, and it would sit there and be able to sterilize medical tools.
Because this is it's a huge issue, I know, in countries where they just do not have the electricity to, they don't have the means to keep things as sterile as they need to for surgical equipment. So this is the purpose, yes?
Exactly. We did some background research, and we found from the International Energy Agency that, you know, currently 20% of the world's population lacks access to any sort of electricity. And we've seen some different studies conducted by the World Health Organization talking about, you know, medical clinics that just don't have any sort of way at all to sterilize tools. So they might be trying to do the correct preventative measures and give out, you know, vaccines. But when they use the same syringe for every patient that comes in, they actually spread other infectious diseases. They're counterproductive in what they're trying to do.
What do you think that a cost per unit would be?
We've done, as far as our design was actually not the CapTour itself. So the CapTour is what produces the steam. And then what we had to do is, you know, just because you're getting that steam out, you have to find a way to really power an autoclave. An autoclave is similar to, it looks like a pressure cooker. And basically what we needed to do was figure out how to couple that steam output from the CapTour Soleil in order to make a powering device for the autoclave itself. So what we've done is designed almost like a hot plate. So the steam runs through this aluminum plate structure that we've designed, and that's what heats up the autoclave. So for our project, that hot plate design, the material cost is approximately $175.
The point being that this is something that could be economically produced for medical staff working in the field. Now, have you tested it to see how effective it is at actually killing all the bacteria?
We have. We've conducted many tests at Rice's Oshman Engineering Design Kitchen, which is where we also did the majority of the work. And what we found is, you know, as long as it's sunny out, you can sterilize effectively. So the Centers for Disease Control, they set the standard at 121 degrees Celsius for 30 minutes inside that autoclave. So as long as you can get that autoclave up to 121 and maintain that temperature for 30 minutes, you should be good to go. And we've done that multiple times, actually twice on the same day, which was also encouraging that you could actually run multiple sterilization cycles. And we even took it a step further. You know, well, it's obviously we've met the academics standards. We also purchased a Gettinger biological test indicator. And basically it's a little pack that contains biological spores. And you place that in the bottom of the autoclave. We ran the sterilization cycle. And you take that pack out. Incubate it for 24 hours, and then based on a fluid inside of this little vial, and based on the color change, it indicates whether or not all biological spores were killed, and the results came back negative.
Now, not to diminish your accomplishment here, but why do you think it's taken so long for this idea to come along? I mean, reflector heating has been around for a long time. I remember seeing some Boy Scouts bake a cake in the middle of nowhere once. Not much more than that.
We did some research into that, too, and what we found is people have tried to do, maybe kind of like a solar oven, which is it's dry heat when you do that kind of thing, where you're just using the sun and there's no steam involved, And while that can be effective, again, through our research, we found that steam sterilization is what really kills the biological spores.
Well,
so we think it's definitely promising.
Having seen many places in the world where this would be absolutely so helpful, I think it's great work you've done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. All right. Goodbye.
Sam Major is a fourth-year engineering student at Rice University in Houston, Texas. He is part of a team that has created a mirror-powered autoclave. They are lean, green, annoying machines, and the NHL wants them to tone the annoying part down. They are the Vancouver Canucks superfan duo known as the Green Men. They dress up in skin-tight head-to-toe green Lycra body suits, sit next to the penalty box in Vancouver's Rogers Arena, and, well, they annoy the heck out of unfortunate players playing against their home team. The Green Men, who go by the names Force and Sully, have a few ways of creating annoyance: banging on the penalty box glass, doing strange acrobatics and pantomimes, and, well, generally just acting as erratically and stupidly as two grown green men in bodysuits can. One of their most recent antics saw them holding up a cardboard cutout of Carrie Underwood, the wife of Nashville Predator center Mike Fisher. She was wearing a Canucks jersey. But their favorite secret weapon, as they call it, is the handstand, a gymnastic act they perform while leaning their green suit-clad bodies on the penalty box glass and giving those in the sin bin some, well, disturbing things to look at. One of their fiercest critics, former NHL goaltender Glenn Healy, said, "We have simply had enough of looking at their rear ends and their crotches when players have to go to the box." The Green Men are currently getting a warm welcome in Nashville, where they're watching their home team go head-to-head against the Predators, whom they suspect launched the complaint against them to the NHL. And while they are still doing what they do best, they are holding off on the handstands and the penalty box banging, for now. For the record, here is the Green Men duo talking about how important their green suits are to them in a recent interview with ESPN.
"We never thought it was ever going to get this big. It was supposed to be a one-time thing, and now you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone in the city of Vancouver who hasn't heard of Green Men or isn't a fan of us."
"This one's on you guys. Love your work."
"We're two goofs in green, let's be realistic. We don't contribute that much. And I just think that's kind of cool. It shows how passionate our city is."
"When I first saw the Green Men on TV, I decided I wanted to be it for Halloween, so our mom made our costumes."
"This isn't exactly the dream I had when I was growing up. If the 8-year-old me saw me wearing this, he'd probably be crying in his pillow right now. But it just sort of happened, and it turned out great, and I love it. I hope to be buried in this suit 6 feet under. I never want to leave this, ever."
Force and Sully, I'm sure your mothers are very proud. For the record, that was the Green Men talking about their love for their green, skin-tight bodysuits. Hollywood isn't necessarily the first place you would look for people who are willing to put their convictions above prestige and accolades, but there are people there who do, and Jackie Cooper was one of them. Yesterday, Jackie Cooper passed away at the age of 88. The Oscar-nominated actor is probably best known as the little rascal who had a crush on Miss Crabtree in the Our Gang shorts. Back in 1978, as it happened, spoke with Mr. Cooper. At the time, he had announced that he wanted his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame removed after it was learned that entertainer and civil rights activist Paul Robeson was being refused a star. From our archives, here is part of a conversation between Jackie Cooper and former As It Happens host Michael Enright.
"Very recently, I read that the selection committee of the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce had turned down Paul Robeson because his name was not worthy of a star on Hollywood Boulevard, because he had not done significant film work, and he had not won any Oscars or Emmys. Those latter three or four things were included in their first statement. Although they are now saying that people have cast a lot of political aspersions on him and so forth, originally that was my objection because they evidently didn't look into his biography because the man has done 11 films. He's done one of the greatest Othellos of all time. He was certainly among show people, and I've been around show people for 50 years now, and he's considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, baritone of all time. An opera star, certainly that is in the arts. If they've got record stars in there who've only been a hit for one record or for 6 months, a hit and a flop all in the same short period of time, I think an opera star whose name lasted as long as Mr. Robeson's did deserves to be put in there. And the fact that they have television producers, cartoon characters, even someone who I know has only done voiceovers in motion pictures and has played on radio but never been photographed, his name is in there. And they figure those names are worthy, and Paul Robeson's isn't, then I don't want to be a part of that organization because it represents a taste and an opinion of the theater and the opera and arts and motion pictures and television, the kind of taste that I don't care to have anything to do with.
It's kind of going back to the Hollywood of the 50s when politics was very important and left-wing politics was very bad.
Well, that is my suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not what I'm accusing them of, because I don't have any facts at my hand. I am, yes, very suspicious that this is part of a whole climate that I think across our country is a lot worse than the 1950s in the McCarthy era, frankly. And at the same breath, I would like to say that were I, majority at the time Mr. Robeson was at the height of his political espousing, I know I would not have agreed with his politics. But that has nothing to do with the man's worth in the theater.
You're really mad about this, aren't you?
Yes. I care something about this business and the traditions in it. And until I have some valid proof that this is a political pressure, then I would really get mad. Right now, just in terms of my business, I'm very upset. I think it's terrible, yes.
From our archives, that was part of a conversation between former As It Happens host Michael Enright and Oscar-nominated actor Jackie Cooper, first aired in 1978. Mr. Cooper died yesterday at the age of 88. And that brings us to the end of As It Happens for this Thursday, May 5th.
Coming up next on CBC Radio 1, the news. I'm Carol Off.
And I'm Jeff Douglas. As It Happens, we'll be back again tomorrow. Good night.